Welcome to AMG Academy. Get ready to dive into a vibrant community where insurance professionals come together to discuss the latest in sales techniques, innovative business strategies, and the power of collaboration. Whether you're looking out for the next big trend in sales or seeking insights into strategic business growth, this is your hub. This is AMG Academy.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of AMG Academy. Matt McClure here with you. So glad to be back in the saddle once again for another edition of the show where we talk all things insurance and the things that make this great industry that we are a part of great. Once again, I am glad to be joined by another wonderful guest here on the show. I've got Joe Brandau, National Marketing Director with AmeriLife Marketing Group. Joe, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing awesome. I appreciate you having me this morning.
Yeah, no problem at all. It is right in the middle of busy season. As we record this, we are in the middle of AEP for the 2025 benefit year. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording here. It's like, you know, there's never a dull moment, but it seems like this year is that's really true.
Honestly, I think everybody's caught off guard this year. I don't care what kind of seasoned vet you are in the industry this year. I think we all had plans and they're getting disrupted mid stride. So we're all just trying to ride the wave this year because it's definitely got a rip current in there. So,
yeah, I hear you. It's like, as the old saying goes, about the best laid plans. I think that's very true this this year. Talk about yourself for just a second here, Joe, as we get started, just for people who might not know you or might not have had the pleasure of making your acquaintance just yet. How long have you been in the business and what drew you to the business here, first of all?
It's actually an interesting story. My dad was the founder of CrossFit of Palm Harbor, and DP, who is our now VP of life and like the life side of everything here, him and Kyle, one of the other marketers here, used to go to my dad's gym. They actually, he founded it over here, CrossFit of Palm Harbor. So when he was starting up the gym, I was helping out a lot, you know, because I was younger and I was just starting to get him, like, just help pops, you know, I mean, it's his new, gym. And I just seen these two guys and they just seemed like they actually just really didn't care about life as much. I mean, shoot, you're going to CrossFit. This was 10 years ago. It's $140 a month for a membership. So like, what are these guys doing? They don't, you know, they just seem lackadaisical. And I'm in sales. So, you know, I'm like, you know, I could tell these guys are in sales. So I'm like, you know, what's going on? What are these guys doing? So I figured out what they're doing. And 10 years later, here I am. You know, I feel like I've got a pretty unique approach on this industry, though, because although I am a marketer here at AmeriLife, I also have a license to write. My 7th month in, the first year, I made $24,000 on taxes. And it was a hard ride. So I had to get my license 7th month in to get my 7 month to get in this first job. I got my license. So, majority of the marketers are not actually licensed. So I'm actually one of the few licensed agents as well. So in addition to me having nothing but FMO 10-year experience, I do have, you know, 10 years of actually writing experience as well. So I think I have a bit of a unique spin on things.
Yeah, that definitely brings a unique perspective to it in the business. And yeah, I mean, when I started with AmeriLife about two and a half years ago, in the radio program and doing, you know, all the media production stuff that I do for the company as well. I actually did that same thing. It was one of the first things I did was get licensed. Because I'm like, I want to know more about all the stuff that I'm going to talk about.
To market a product. So it's really funny. I just did a training with one of my teams over in Alabama. I actually flew out there. And in that, I was in a room with a couple of the agents have 3,000, 4,000 Medicare Advantage clients on the books. So I'm talking, these are top tier agents. And just sitting in a room with like 15 to 20 of these agents and me just brief, like we're just going over products and Signa was actually first doing their presentation in the hospital indemnity and I was just helping her out. I was just adding some nuggets into her conversation. And it's really interesting how much the writing agent fancies the knowledge of a marketer and how much the marketer fancies like the knowledge of a writing agent. So it's really funny how you just have a small conversation about the back end of insurance, and the writing agents just love that because that's not their day to day, but that's where they want to be. Right. And then the same thing on the marketer. You know, we love to hear those micro wins that makes, you know, I do this, this, and this as a mic, because we don't have those micro strategies as much as a marketer. So, yeah. I mean, we do, but it's like, it's just really interesting how even though they're the same lane, they're completely separate.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like you're on the, it's not quite the same. It's like you're maybe not quite the same lane. I'm trying to think of the best analogy. You're on the same highway going the same direction, but maybe you're in lanes right beside each other, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you for bringing your experience not only to the job every day, but of course to the show this time around. And we're excited to be. Yeah, no, it's great to have you and to bring that expertise and that experience and those different perspectives, because we're talking about something that is really important and I think has, you know, upended a lot of maybe different aspects of the Medicare business, the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, as it's known. Yeah. And how about, you know, how it has changed and continues to change the Medicare market. We're now what, in the second year now of this act being in effect, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing that's kind of interesting, because, you know, I've been on a call with Aetna and I see them on their Medicare Advantage and PDPs talking about how happy and what position they are at this current time with the Inflation Act, where it's going, where it's headed for them. I've seen a WellCare on their earnings report, them talking about their current position with PDPs now, showing that they only have a 0-1% margin and how they're actually happy in its position, whatnot, moving forward. So it's very interesting to hear at one side of the coin these carriers talking about how incredibly understanding they are of what's going on, where it's at, versus what we're actually seeing them do on the other side of the coin. We're not seeing them being prepared. We're not seeing them ready for things. And this year, we're now, what, almost a full month, not quite a month, but almost a month here into AEP. And I've run a lot of numbers, and these numbers are not looking good for the greater majority of agents. And their whole goal and their whole initiative on paper is one thing, and them saying how ready and prepared they are is one thing. And what we're actually seeing is just not the case this year. And I can go over it a little more in details there for you as well. But that's basically not, we're just not seeing this be the great release that we're kind of looking for.
Yeah. And that was going to actually be my next question to you, is just kind of to expand on that and talk about why you think that is.
So on paper, you get to say that the Inflation Reduction Act caps seniors at $2,000 in out-of-pocket expenses for their drug costs, which it does. Then on paper, you get to say that the administration this last year has allowed carriers to opt into a new program that allows them to choose not to have increases in commissions of, excuse me, increasing to premiums above $35 a month. So that sounds amazing. Seniors are now capped at $2,000, you know. This should be like an overbearingly like good thing that you're saying on paper. Like, this is amazing. Premium's not going above 35 year over year. Your maximum out of pocket, catastrophic, moved down from 8,800 to 2,000. Yay, everybody should be happy, right? Like, this is actually should be fantastic. And that's the thing. Sometimes people, you know, people are on the internet and people that aren't in this industry and they don't understand the micro movements of what this implications are saying, you know, this sounds amazing. This is actually what's going on. We're helping seniors out. You know, we're subsidizing Medicare even more than we should be. But the out-of-pocket, so in very some cases, that is correct. So for example, if you're taking 3 or 4 tier 3 drugs or above, normally you would be hitting your catastrophic limit once you hit around 8,000. And now, yes, you could actually be, in some cases with even Medicare Advantage plans in the state of Florida, I've seen somebody hit their, see, the biggest difference with the Inflation Reduction Act this year is the carrier's portion gets counted towards the 2K or the catastrophic amount where it normally did not. So that is a huge change that's changing the way this looks. And for example, some of the Medicare Advantage formularies are so strong with just one tier formulary in January or February, you are hitting, you might have been only $300 or $400 out of pocket and you've hit your $2,000 ding. You don't have, for the rest of the year, you don't have another drug cost. So if you're in Florida, if you're in Miami, and you're taking one tier three drug and you have one of those Humana plans that have an exceptionally good formulary, yes, you're in good shape. If you're not that person, you are not in that good of shape. So for example, we did a quote the other day. And a client that had six low-tier drugs, tier one, two, three, and four. This client is now in 3,400, 4,500 range because they're not actually capping out on the amount they have to spend. And the monthly premiums that they are is now bringing them far more past what they ever have. So in my mind, in the carrier's mind, think about it. If we're in year two, like you mentioned, of the Inflation Reduction Act, this year... We are getting subsidized by 25% that the government is still paying after the $2,000 limit gets hit. So that means we're already seeing such drastic changes in non-commissionable plans now for Medicare Advantage, WellCare completely not paying any commissions at all, Aetna not paying any new business moving forward, three or four of the carriers having three or four plans non-commissionable. We're seeing drastic upheavals in the Medicare Advantage market because of this year two change. Wait till next year when we have an additional 25% getting moved on to the carriers. So we're, in my eyes, yes, on one end of the scale, we're kicking back the $8,000 down to $2,000 for these people taking three or four tier threes and they're lower. Yes, that's real. But the greater majority of eight clients are in that middle of the pack, where they were not on the catastrophic end. And there's so many millions of Americans that are now spending $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 more than they were last year. And the greater majority in the middle are now spending more. So the people in the top end, yes, they're having a great day right now. This year is amazing for them. But those middle of the pack people, and then where it doesn't really make sense is in... Though the Inflation Reduction Act and this $2,000 limit is the same for both PDPs and both Medicare Advantage, the formularies we're seeing on most quotes are night and day better almost on the Medicare Advantage side. So now we're seeing so many carriers come in and out of the market. They're making their plans non-commissionable because they weren't ready for this kind of change. So what we're seeing is the higher-end clients getting taken care of, the middle-of-the-pack people paying much more than they were, and then the conversation of is Medicare Advantage or PDP better for you is now completely skewed across the nation because of the PDP's formularies actually being higher. I did a Turning 65 presentation for one client the other day. They're taking almost zero drugs. They took two or three generics. And trying to tell a client why they should go to a Medicare Advantage plan versus a Medicare supplement plan, paying a Part B premium, paying, you know, $90 now for their prescription drug premiums, paying $2,000 in the formulary versus getting a Medicare Advantage plan that possibly has a Part B give back, but they don't even pay that Part B premium. The formulary going from $2,300 down to $500, you know, so it's really changing in so many different ways. And in my eyes, the greater majority of clients in the middle there are just paying more. And that is against the whole initiative of this whole program.
Yeah.
It's a long-winded, but no. It's impacting my clients. It's impacting everybody in ways that, well, I'm hearing horror stories left and right. So for example, in Connecticut, there's two plans that are commissionable. Now they're not. So if I had one of my clients calls me, his husband just, you know, husband's 66, the wife 65. The wife in Connecticut can't even go on to the plan that her husband's on, even though it's available in the county because it's not commissionable for the agent. They can't sell it. So now it's putting that agent in such a bad position. I told you, like the client in Miami there, where the formulary and PDP differences are just night and day difference. I have a girl in Kansas. Now... Where Medicare Advantage, where Humana and United Healthcare were super strong out there, they're completely pulling out of those counties and now there's no Medicare Advantage in that area for Humana and United Healthcare even. So we're seeing just left and right drastic horror stories that are like where I just don't think these carriers were prepared. Like we're in the second year where they should have seen. I mean, this is such finite print on the wall and in the reports and the their earnings reports. They're acting like one thing, but we can see that they clearly haven't been ready.
Yeah, it's like we promise we're ready, and then oops, maybe we weren't. It's sad to hear. And it's, you know, it's sad on the client side. It's sad on the agent side as well. I mean, how do agents kind of deal with this on the ground as they're working day to day? I mean, it's as you describe it, it's a tough environment, like that couple in Connecticut that you were talking about, where, you know, the wife can't even go on the same plan that the husband has. It's that's a tough situation. It's
How do you tell your client your wife can't be on the same plan that you're actually on because it's no longer non-commissionable? Well, you can if you don't want me to service it and you don't want your... And that's why majority of clients are going to the agent because they do everything for them. So not having the agent service that, yes, that client can get written on Medicare.gov, sign up direct. And again, that puts us in an even worse position for our clients. We have to do what's best for the client in most cases. For us to not service that business moving forward as well, it's a hard recommendation to give to the client. And it's definitely just putting us in a hard spot. And like my best agent, I just called him this morning. And he's like, Joe, what's going on? Cigna, I can't put a PDP anymore. So in Georgia, there's Aetna's been like a very predominant Medicare Advantage plan. And it's in the whole state, it's been like one of the best plans for 10 years in that state. Not saying Humana, United Healthcare, and Cigna don't have great plans as well, but Aetna has a national PPO that was the flagship plan. And so they came out this year where they sawed every single plan they have. And in some counties, they didn't come back into the same county with the plan. So this is something they've done in the last 10 years where they usually will come out of the county, come right back in with the same county. But this year, we didn't see that global come out and come back in every single county. Some plans are not there anymore. So then we've seen, then next, Anthem came out with such a competitive PPO in the area that they actually had to, they knew they were going to get a little bit too much business and had to pull back their plan. And now they're only accepting business on fax. And now it's and then we just got notified on Friday that plan is now non-commissionable. So that was very interesting. And then Cigna in that same area has the next best PPO, and they've been getting a lot of business. And now they just announced on 11/4 that plan's non-commissionable. So it's like, so not only in that state have we had the best flagship plan now non-commissionable, the next best plan, which is a brand new plan that came in, which even had a huge Part B give back. There's no way that plan is not best for almost 90% of the clients in some of the state that don't pay prescriptions. And there's a Part B give back, the only one in the state, not commissionable. Then another big carrier pulls back not commissionable. We now have like one or two carriers that are decent in that whole area that you can say is going within. The bottom line is that agent, one of my agents on Friday goes out to write an application for one of their clients that needs the policy. And now on Sunfire, the plan's suppressed because they can't even submit the business because out of nowhere, they're getting announced that these plans. So to answer that question, how do agents stay prepared? Even the very best agent who has his pulse so hard on the industry, you're going to miss. You're going to miss a little.
It sounds that way. I mean, it's just like a big guessing game, you know, as to you think that this is that this is going to be absolutely true, and that you know, I'm going to be able to, sell this plan to this individual. And then all of a sudden, literally, as you're writing the application for the client or the prospect or whomever, as you're writing the application for them, things completely change. The rug gets pulled out from under you. So that's like it's not a good environment to be in on the agent side. And it's certainly not a good environment to be in on the client side.
What I would say to you, though, is even though we're dealing with immense adversity this year, far more book protection than we ever. I've had those girls in Alabama, for example. Yes, they do manage their book, but their whole mentality for 5 years is just write and not manage the book as much, where a lot of my agents are the exact opposite, where they manage their book as much. So I don't really care if you're more new sales oriented or managing your book oriented. This year has got a lot of adversity that we're going to have to do as agents. But out of that adversity, what I would say is we have the opportunity this year to sell more hospital indemnity than we have ever sold. We have more opportunity now to go back against that entire book and sell them life insurance. So where it wins this year is we have an 8% fallout as agents in this industry. That means out of 94%, what, 92% of the people that join this industry, they leave. So my boss said it to me like this: Medicare Advantage is a privilege. And we have to understand a lot. We have to know Medicare, Medicaid. We have to be very fluent in this industry. And on top of being a good agent, you have to have market knowledge and strategy to stay in this industry. And if you're not cross-selling, if you're that agent that's been a bit more transactional-based, which you could be a very bad agent in Medicare and do very well because of its transaction base. And this is the year that those agents will not do well. And it's because you can't only be a transaction agent, and you need to understand how to, I know we've been doing this, throwing this word around, you probably heard it, the holistic, but man, this couldn't be a year to double down on the holistic approach that you're doing with your clients. Make sure you're selling ACA. Make sure you're selling ancillary products. Make sure you double down and understand your Medicare business. That's your core. Start talking about life insurance, and then start finding your clients' money with retirement income and doing annuity protection, retirement planning. And if you're not doing all three of these, or you know, all these spokes of the wheel, when Medicare falls off a little bit this year, like we're seeing some pullback, that's what's going to happen. But I think there's a lot of opportunity to write more than we've ever had.
So there is a silver lining around the cloud, it sounds like.
Yeah, I know it sounds a little doom and gloom. It's just because it's a bit more, we're right in that thick of this change kind of implementing. And what I just don't think people are prepared for is just seeing this 20% substance. So I'm looking at this chart here showing like the different Part B and the regulations that's going to be moving over. And next year, you know, 20% of the government paid, I said 25 earlier, I corrected, it's 20, excuse me, okay. 20% of the catastrophic phase, and then 40% into generic that the government's paying for, that is leaving next year. So we're going to get, I've told my agents, you know, we've had 15 to 10 straight through the roof years of Medicare Advantage just going up, 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 and up. Benefits, you know, take a look at our compensation. We've had on average, I think, 3% increase in commission for the street agent for the last 10 years. So it's been 2 years that it didn't go up. 2 years. So, you know, what industry have you ever been writing for 15 years that the policy you wrote 10 years ago's commission goes up year after year when you never touched it?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of adversity, but there's a lot of good things going on in this industry. Most of our blocks have, before this year, close to a 95% retention rate. So there's a lot. I know I'm very concerned. I'm very adamant about what I do. And this Inflation Reduction Act, I don't think has managed correctly. And I don't think that some of the carriers were quite ready for the impact it's going to do on their actuaries. That's why they're pulling commissions on a bunch of products. They got to be profitable. We don't want to make the carriers not be profitable just so we can make money. No one wants the industry like that. So we want them to be profitable so they can actually give us the tools to continue to give them the business. That's all we want. We all want that. Good, clean business across the board. Yeah. But I just think that some of this years were a little bit drastic changes. And what's very interesting is after we're starting to look at some of this is, you know, carriers that never were mega aggressive on their plans are coming in looking like the saviors. And it's some of these carriers like, you know, United Healthcare that never gets exceptionally aggressive with their plans year over year. They just stick with a very competitive plan. So that way, when there are drawbacks in the year, they're going to move ahead. So like, for example, Devota does very good actuarial studies on the average amount of savings that a Medicare Advantage plan gives. So on average, they state that a Medicare Advantage plan is around 25%. So on top of original Medicare, you're getting about 25%. They think their plans are closer to the 40% range. That's why they've been getting such a good, like in the last 2 years, their planes have, they've moved up to, I think, number 17. And I honestly think they'll be one of the top six after this AEP with some of the shakeup. That's another story. But the bottom line is, I think the carriers that were closer to that 25% average, like United Healthcare, when everybody else has to pull back their plans, add on deductibles, add on, you know, 590 drug deductibles, increase their MOOPs, do all this, try to, you know, increase profitability in their plan. They actually got a little bit more aggressive this year. They came out with a C-SNP plan that's almost in all counties. So like, you know, I've said this for years, if I could choose one book to choose, it would be United Healthcare. And it's because of the agent of record protection that they give. And now with how their stance has always been on not coming out with a mega aggressive plan when everybody else has taken hits, they're getting more competitive. So when you stay with consolidating your book, you know, when I first started 10 years ago, one of the marketers around here said, "What are you doing marketing that carrier?" You know, yelling at me for not pitching Mutual, for not pitching United Healthcare, for setting distributions in other products. And yes, you do need to get your you got to represent everybody. I get it. But when you can choose, you know, staying with these bigger carriers, even the biggest of the biggest are going to fall. So, you know, at least trying to consolidate with the top carriers are going to help you stay in good positions. So.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. And great advice there for the agents who are listening and watching. And, just about out of time here, Joe, but, I could talk for another hour about all this. And I know you could as well. Two things. One, I wanted to ask if there's anything else that we haven't touched on that you wanted to mention really quickly that comes to mind.
You know, I would just say, as much as we want to only pitch these carriers and these products that are commissionable, at the end of the day, there's going to be some shakeup in this landscape. And the bottom line, doing what's best for your clients is always going to put you in the driver's seat. Yeah. You know, you may not get the policies that you want. You might take a $50,000 hit in your renewals this year. But always doing with that what's ethical and always what's doing what's right for your client. As much as it's going to hurt us this year, I stand by that. You know what I mean? I think that we should do that as well. And and I'm going to tell my agents to do the same.
Yeah, job one right there. And then secondly, I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the conversation and all of the insights that you bring. And I would love to have you back post AEP, maybe do kind of a little AEP postmortem at some point in the new year.
Some postmortem. Yeah. How did everything land? I'll say this too. You know, we're doing some really great numbers right now. So we got preliminary numbers. So, you know, we are seeing great numbers so far recording. So, even though the numbers are doing well, this is just my, you know, my viewpoint. So it's not all doom and gloom in any way. So
there is, as we say, that silver lining that exists on all fronts. It's a big cloud, but there is the silver lining there.
Well, be real. You got to know where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well,
I really appreciate you having me too.
Yeah, no worries. Joe Brandow, National Marketing Director with AMG. Thank you so much, sir. Really do appreciate it. And I do look forward to having you back at some point in the future.
Feel free. I'd love to.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of AMG Academy. For more information on any of today's topics or to contact us, visit AmeriLifeMarketingGroup.com.